The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone. I'm Vince, the Voice Bailey, and this is Black Mental Matters, program podcast designed to help eliminate the stigma as it relates to mental health in the Black community. And on this episode, something that's close to my heart, this is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. If you didn't know, suicidal thoughts, much like mental health conditions, can affect anyone, regardless of age, gender, or background. Every year, thousands of individuals die by suicide, leaving behind their friends and family members to navigate through the tragedy of loss. And in many cases, friends and families affected by a suicide loss are often left in the dark. And much too often, the feelings of shame and stigma prevent them from talking openly. Well, this National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, this is a time to share resources and stories in an effort to shed light on this highly taboo and stigmatized topic. On this episode, Makiba and I would like to share with you our thoughts, as well as provide some resources and steps that people can take to hopefully never have to deal with this tragedy that affects so many of us. Welcome. It's Black Mental Matters. Once again, Black Mental Matters, Vince the Voice, along with my wonderful, highly esteemed, well thought of, and just outstanding MPH, MPA, BSW, self-care guru herself, Makiba Reed Johnson. How you doing,
Makiba?
Oh, Makiba?
Wow. Thank you very much. Woohoo!
Was that a good one?
That was a good one. Thank you.
It is an honor, my co-host, and like I say all the time, it's like I'm getting free therapy sessions because we really have a knack of being timely, Makiba. I just got to say it. We are timely. Some of this stuff that's going on, we were talking about, because as you said, it's a year now that we've been doing this show. Is it a year?
Yes.
It's a year. Happy anniversary.
Yes. Thank you. You too. Yeah. Happy anniversary to Black Mental Matters and all of the topics that we've covered.
That's right. And a big shout out to Carol S. Smith now. Carol S. Smith and Thomas, our behind the scenes man. Thank you all. And thank all of our listeners. We got some great messages from people who they've been listening from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful for that. And so here we are today, Makiba. And it's, last program, we were acknowledging that it was recovery month, September, but the big one is that September is Suicide Awareness Month, right? Is it awareness or prevention? I've heard it called both.
Yeah, I think it's officially Prevention Month.
Prevention.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. And when you talk about, of course, COVID on top of suicide, I mean, I think it's this emotional and psychological impacts of this pandemic no doubt can lead people to feelings of hopelessness and thoughts about suicide. So we wanted to make that our topic for this podcast here today. And hopefully for our listeners out there, we know you could be feeling anxious or fearful, sadness, lonely. We all are. We're all in this together.
Yeah, we are.
And we want to, again, prevent from going all the way, because we know that is not the way. You do not take yourself out of this situation. So where do you want to begin today, Makiba, as it relates to suicide prevention?
Well, sure. Well, I actually would like to just kind of open up with just how important it is that it starts really at the family level. I hear a lot about intervention programs and public awareness campaigns, crisis response plannings, but that those types of programs don't trickle down into your household, and most, people, especially people with kids, people with families, don't really get those resources that they need to even in that this is a public health problem that there are resources out there for. So I guess I just wanted to kind of just start off with just how important it is for us to start having the conversations within your house and with the people that you care about the most. And right before we started recording, Vince, you mentioned, and you and I were speaking about how suicide is high among men.
Yes.
And that's not something that we, you know, especially being a mom, a black mom, you know, I've got two boys and one just finished college. And I had to relook at how I pushed them out into the world without really looking at, you know, how are they feeling? You know, are they dealing with type of mental health issues? Like, there's so much pressure on males, on men, just to be performers and to go out there and prove yourself and get your accolades and, you know, and make your name in this world and be successful. But we're not really looking at what are safe spaces for men, and we need to start looking for men to create safe spaces and circles where you all can be able to have the conversations with each other to allow yourselves to be vulnerable and talk about how you feel and talk about some of the things that you're dealing with.
Yes, that is so right. And the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI organization, and for those of you out there listening, it's a great resource for information as it relates to mental health. The stats show 75% of all people who actually die by suicide are male. And although more women than men attempt suicide, men are nearly four times more likely to die by suicide. Right now we've got the buildup in firearms, you know, everyone's mm-hmm. buying guns and that's a part of it, you know. But as you talk about men and you say, you know, the pressure to be that provider and take care of your family is challenged right now, particularly with this COVID. If the job.
And
I know that when you are sitting there with yourself and you don't know what's going to happen next, again, that fear and anxiety, those kinds of things that take place, hopelessness, those are some of the things that can drive someone to have those ideations. About that, and let me quickly too, because someone may need this right now. We may need to do this a couple times, McKee. But the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. If you or someone that you know has been speaking or talking about wanting to commit suicide, but personal and the family, that's the top of the deal, especially for, again, us guys, we want to take care of our families, and if we can't, it puts us in a state, Makiba.
Right. And notice that when you just said, you know, that it's expected that men get out there, work hard and provide and take care of their family, there's no verbiage in that where we're telling men how important it is to take care of themselves. Because if you are responsible for taking care of your family, you have got to have some type of protocols or things that you're doing to take care of yourself, because that's a very large task for anybody to take on without having some type of emotional support, or at least having a thing where, you know, your family and your people that you are providing for and that you are, trying to support, that those people know, okay, you know, dad or husband needs to have some time. Today they've had a long day, or they're going on a retreat, or they're going camping, or they're going fishing, just to know that person has to do things to take care of themselves, and that if they're not taking care of themselves, they're not going to be able to take care of anybody else.
Well, you're the first person that I've heard articulate that so well there, McKee, because it's just, I guess, the DNA of life that has evolved, that men, our role is to be the provider, and that's it. And if you're not, then you're not a real man. And if you're not a real man, then you have these thoughts of, well, shoot, I'm not accomplishing anything that I need to, and I'm of no use. And so why don't I just take myself out of the whole equation? And that's
absolutely,
we're talking suicide prevention today. No, you are valuable. Take care of yourself. There's a lot of situations vary again with this COVID. Now, if you having the fear that you or one of your loved ones could get COVID, that could drive you nuts. No chance to be with and comfort your loved one who's seriously ill or dying in the hospital, drive you nuts. Grief over the loss of a loved one could drive you nuts. This social social isolation, especially if you live alone. If you don't live alone, now you just got all these folks around you all day long because your family is under stay-at-home orders, drive you nuts, for lack of a better way of putting this. That bottle keep calling you. All these things. And this just enhances any other mental health issue that you may be going through. But
It's a tough time. It is, because it's and just with the COVID-19 piece by itself, when you look at how that impacts mental health, what you really need to think about is how similar this pandemic has been to so many different, you know, movies and fantasy stories about a virus that's out there, but it can kill you. I mean, it's really, really serious. And the fact that, you know, as a nation, the virus has been politicized, and going out in the daytime and just running errands, that's stressful.
Yes.
So all of this is lining up to make that burden for people that already had mental health issues before the pandemic started. This is a lot.
You're right. I mean, even like you say, just going to the grocery store, and if you come around that corner of the aisle and somebody comes towards you that don't have a mask on, your hair sticks up on the edge, and all kinds of it is just it's real out here in this field, boy. I mean, look at hey, get back, bag up. Folks come in all cavalier into the gas station, man, with their mask at. But it also, one of the groups, Makiba, that I'm really concerned about, I'm concerned with all, but our young people, I saw a CDC survey, they did 5,400 people. Okay, first of all, 41% reported at least one negative mental health issue, but 11% said they were considering suicide, and those aged 18 to 24 were more likely to report it, with 25% of them saying they seriously considered suicide.
Our
young people.
Yeah. Yes. These are our young people, and these are the ones that are being severely impacted. And in fact, I believe it was 2018, there were 1.4 million Americans who attempted suicide. Mm. So that's not even in the data of people whose suicide attempts were successful. But that's the number of people that just attempted. And that number was recorded by, medical professionals.
Yes.
So this is something that's very, very serious. And when you're looking at data, a lot of the data does not represent the Black community, because Black people are not going
into therapy. We ain't telling nobody nothing. That's right. We sit there holding it in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. I mean, even to the place where, families are embarrassed if they have a loved one who has had a suicide attempt. They're told to not talk about it. Some people are reprimanded for it because they feel like they're made to feel like they have done something to embarrass the family or to embarrass loved ones. So this is something that we have to make sure that we're continuing to have a dialogue about, to make young people especially, and people of color who don't have access to the resources and who don't have the conversations that are going around them, to let people know that it is okay to talk about your mental health issues. Because some people who are experiencing depression or suicide ideation, they don't have a name for it. So just in their mind, they're just dealing with the feelings and the emotions and the despair and the sadness, but they don't know that that's a mental health condition, and that it can actually be, you can see, and we've talked about this before, if you compare the MRI of a brain of a person who does not have depression, compare that to the brain of a person who does have depression, the brain of the person who is experiencing depression has less neurological activity, and there are more dark areas in that brain. So this is not something that people need to be embarrassed about or feel like they can't talk to someone. So that's why it's important for us, for people like me and you, who have the language and who know how to reach out to people and put information out there to keep the conversation going.
And as I've stated before, which we really really haven't dug deep, but I will share again, you know, that right in my own family, I experienced a sibling who committed suicide, my father who committed suicide. And it really did take me into a dark place as when I was younger and wanted to create some type of way to let folks know that they were not alone in this. And because, you know, having a background in media, thinking, well, the media, this podcast and whatever else we do, you know, could be a good avenue for getting that message out. We don't want to see deaths of despair, I've heard it called. We don't want to see that increase. And particularly, again, during this time, we do not want to see suicides increase. The numbers were increasing even before COVID. It was already on the rise.
That's right.
I don't know why that is, Makeba, but it was on the rise even before COVID hit. I thought we was doing so great here, you know, that everything, the money and the economy and the stock market and all this kind of stuff. But no, folks were feeling a certain kind of way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you're measuring, you know, the U.S. and the economy and capitalism and, you know, the Dow Jones, you're not factoring in people.
Period.
Yes, and they're going through to keep the economy going and to keep the stock market viable and to keep, you know, the economy going. So everything has a price. And I think what we're seeing now is that people are just tired. I mean, people are mentally tired. They're emotionally tired. They're now trying to deal with their mental health issues because no one's ever talked about it before. It's like having cancer and you don't get treated for it. I mean, it's going to come up in you and present itself eventually. So this is not something that you can say, oh, I'm not going to pay attention to this because I'm strong and I'm making a lot of money and I've got this going on. I'm educated this. No, your mental health, if you don't take care of it, you are going to have to deal with it at some point in your life. And the hardest part of this is if you're not dealing with your own mental health issues, the people around you are.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, Makeba, once again, this National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, I want to throw it out there again, 800-273-8255. Again, that number, 800-273-8255. Or there's also the crisis text line where you can text the word TALK to 741-741. 741. Yes. And you've had experience with that crisis line.
They are awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are awesome. Their training is very unique because what their training does is they get, and I wish everybody who was interested in putting up dialogue with people that are dealing with mental health issues could be privy to the training. The training teaches you to basically just hold space. So what it's doing is it's teaching you how to listen without judging, without giving a response. The most common response to people who have suicidal ideation is, oh man, you know, why are you thinking about that? No, you're not, don't take your life. No, you know, you're not going to do that. No, let's start talking about something else. Instead of sitting with that person and allowing them to go through those emotions and experience them, that's how you start taking the steps to overcome depression. You can't just brush it under the rug. And that crisis text line, that they are incredible. It's the best training I have ever received in mental health.
Wow. Well, there are five. Of course, there's more out there, but I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about, Makeba, five action steps that people can take for communicating with someone who may be suicidal and are supported by the evidence that's in that field of what we're talking about. Suicide prevention. The first action step, and you kind of alluded to it, is to ask. You ask the question, hey, are you thinking about suicide?
Yes.
And that communicates that you're open to talking about it to them with them in a non-judgmental and supportive way, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's key. Yes.
And you can ask, hey, well, how do you hurt? How can I help? But one thing that you never do is never promise to keep their thoughts of suicide a secret. If you done said it, we got to call something. We got to do something.
That's right. We have to make sure that you're going to be okay. Absolutely.
The flip side, you said it too, of ask, is to listen. I know that takes some, that takes some, what is it?
Some shut up.
Some shut up.
Two ears, one mouth. That's right.
Yeah.
Listen twice as much as you talk. That's right.
You know, we always want to jump in and look, oh man, you just, let's go bowling. Let's go do, you know, let's get a drink. Let's smoke something or whatever, you know. No. Listen to them. Let them get it out. And that is so, so helpful. The next step, so that first one was asked. The next one is be there. And that can be being physically present for someone, speaking with them on the phone when you can, or any way that shows support for that person at risk. How important is that?
That's extremely important. And that goes back to the importance of holding space for the person and being there without having all of your stuff with that person, but just being that space where that person can just talk about what they're feeling to someone else, being you, then that's going to just sit there and just support them and not judge them.
Being there with someone with thoughts of suicide is life-saving, folks. It's life-saving. Increasing your connectionness to others, increasing their connectionness to others, and limiting their isolation, which has been shown to be a protective factor against suicide. So be there for them. Don't abandon them. Be there for them. The next one after we have ask, be there, is to keep them safe. And what do we mean? Well, first of all, it's good for everybody to be on the same page. After the ask step, you've determined that suicide is indeed being talked about. It's important to find out a few things to establish immediate safety. Have they already done anything to try to kill themselves? Do they have any guns around? Do they have some kind of specific plan that they've been talking about? And if so, we've got to deal with this. We've got to deal with it.
Absolutely. And what's important in that step is you have to have previously established a level of trust with the person that has opened up to you about their ideation or consideration of death by suicide. Because if you don't, that person can easily just kind of pull themselves from you and say, well, you know, I wasn't really thinking about doing that, because they risk in scaring off the person when you're trying to get them help. Because, you know, we still haven't really worked out the whole crisis management thing, and it's a really sticky situation if you're going to get the police involved. And sometimes that ends up having to be the case.
You
have to really make sure that you establish trust with that person.
If they have immediate access to a firearm and are very serious about attempted suicide, then you got to call the cops. You got to call somebody.
Call somebody.
Okay, don't let it simmer. Our next one would be to help them connect. Helping someone with thoughts of suicide connect with ongoing supports like the Lifeline, again, 800-273-8255, or the crisis text line. That can help them establish a safety net for those moments when they find themselves in a crisis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really important, because what you are describing is when the person opens up to you about suicide, that it's a big task, but you have got to walk them through it. You can't just give them some resources and then walk away.
Right.
To ensure that they are going to be okay, you have to make sure that you are there to ensure that they are getting the resources that they need. The same way if you had a friend or a family member in the car with you and they are experiencing a heart attack, you're not going to drop them off in front of the hospital. You're going to go there. You're going to stay with them. You're going to meet the doctors. You're going to figure out what's going on, what the diagnosis is. You have to walk that person through this.
Another great resource. We haven't talked about them in a while. First, let me say, helping them develop a safety plan. Part of that safety plan could be downloading the Not Okay app.
Hey, Hannah and Charlie.
You see what I'm saying? Yes.
Good plug.
Having them, you know, and then that way, that app.
Tell
them what that is once again, would you, Makiba?
So the Not Okay app is an app that was developed by two Georgia teenagers, Hannah and Charlie Lucas. And Hannah was experiencing suicidal ideation. And after her episode, she was communicating with her family about the importance of having a support system of peers. So she and her brother developed an app that you download, and it asks you for your five closest contact people, and then it sends information to those five, your five closest people, telling them that you have installed this Not Okay app, and that that app is going to contact them if they are, if you are ever in distress and you activate the app, it contacts your people that you've chosen it to contact, and that tells them your location and other, you know, just other information for your friend circle to then get together and give you the support that you need. The app is great in that it helps people who maybe haven't disclosed to their friends that they're dealing with suicide. If you download the app and you select your contacts, then you have to have the conversation with them about why you downloaded the app. So that's a great start.
Yes, yes. And by using an app like that, or calling the prevention lines, or doing things like that, many, many times you didn't immediately feel less depressed, less suicidal, less overwhelmed. And hopefully by the end of the day, you know, you just all good or a lot better than you were. So that Not Okay app, definitely put that as in your toolbox to help. And the last one, okay, so we had ask, we're going to be there, we're going to keep them safe, we're going to help them connect, and you already said this, we have to follow up. We have Absolutely. To follow up and make sure that they are, that they did download the Not Okay app. Make sure they're with the support group. You know, leave a message, send a text, give them a call. The follow up is very, very important. We do care.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why it's important for you to know that when you are taking on this challenge, and it is a challenge, when you are taking on having someone, you know, open up to you about their interest in suicide, that you are going to walk them all the way through. And if you're not willing to walk all the way through with them, get them someone or a group of people or friend or family member who can do that. Because what you don't want to do, and I have seen this with people that are experiencing depression and thinking about suicide, is that they feel like they're a burden. So if you are in a position where you have someone that has opened up to you about their interest in taking their own life, that you have to make sure that they don't feel like that they're so much of a burden that you can't go the long distance and the long haul with them. You've got to go through the whole thing. And the person that is supporting the person who is dealing with the mental health crisis, you've got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because whenever you're taking care of a person who has any type of mental illness, it takes a toll on you.
It takes a toll. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. So you've got to make sure that you are employing your own self-care.
Well, I'll just say again, you know, talking from experience, that you always think to yourself, what could I have done? What could I have done this to prevent that? Or could I have done this to prevent that? And the things that we've just now talked about, the five steps, the situations, the apps, everything are tools that you can use so that we can get these numbers down. And you know, in fact, that it's even more likely that people are going to be depressed and their mental health is going to be challenged right now during this pandemic. And so let me just say this, Makiba, September 13th, that was the date. So it's been 16 years now for my older brother, and got a chance to, 16 years. The time goes by, everybody. Never forgotten, though, always loved, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. So that's why we want to send out these hopefully good vibes that was going to help prevent, in honor of this Suicide Prevention Month, help prevent anything like that happening to any of our listeners or their loved ones. So
absolutely. And Vince, as always, thank you for opening up about that and talking about it, because I know, you know, it's a lot of pain behind it, because, you know, that kind of hurt, you know, and grief, that's with you forever. So thank you for opening up with our audience and opening up with people and talking about it so that you can help someone else.
Well, thank you so much
for doing that.
You're very welcome. His life was not in vain. So
absolutely.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number again, for those that need help. 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. Or you can text TALK to the Crisis text line, 741-741. Makiba, we thank you so much for all that you do. And what can I say? Another great Black Middle Matters podcast. And you can find us online, blackmiddlematters.com, and on Instagram and Facebook and all those kinds of places. And send us a note and tell us what you think, what you're doing to make sure that we have some good mental outcomes. How about that?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that sounds awesome.
All right. Thank you so much, Makiba. God bless.